We were all needed to be in a certain place at a certain time the very next day. And so on Wednesday, I found myself at Bethel AME Church at noon for Hour of Power. But this wasn't just any Hour of Power. This was an Hour of Power that had been called together by clergy from different faiths and different denominations as a response to all of the things that we have been hearing in our country during this season. It was really the opportunity for believers to say there is hope and that hope endures. And so I wish I had a picture, but I found myself seated between some folk that I had never met before. And on one side of me, there was a retired Lutheran pastor who just happens to be white. And on the other side of me, there was an imam from a local mosque here. And behind me were some people of another denomination inside the Christian faith. And the thing that amazed me was, without regard to who actually got up and said whatever it is they said from their faith tradition, whether it was a rabbi or an imam or whether it was someone who recognizes, as I and I believe most of us do, that Jesus Christ is the hope for the world. Everybody stood up and said the overriding thing that we must walk away with, not just in this season, but in every season, is that hope endures and that the thing that we have been charged to do above all else is love. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, talking about hope, said hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And what that said to me is, doesn't matter what I personally may be experiencing at this moment in my life. It doesn't matter that I may find myself on the cusp of being homeless or unemployed. It doesn't matter if I find myself at the place where my relationship is fractured to the point of it breaking. It really doesn't matter how long I've been in whatever situation I've been in. If I blow it up to talk about the things that we've been hearing for the last week or so, it doesn't matter what I hear on the news. The one thing that I need to know now and always, because I am a believer in Jesus Christ, is that hope is the thing that always makes me look back and say there is light at the end. That without regard to how dark it may look now, there is light at the end. And I said, okay, good. I got it. I'm back. Remember last week I said we need to pray more. We need to meditate on the word of God more. If I want to deal with the emotions that come, I need to make sure that my connection with him is sound and sure. But then I came to the place where I said, well, but that's good. Because, see, we can get that on Sunday morning and then we all walk away. But what do we do tomorrow? When I'm sitting next to someone who doesn't know who I know or know like I know, what can I do? And I was reminded of something that I continue to stand here week after week and say to us as a local congregation, as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, that we are the ones who have been charged by God, not just to have hope for ourselves, but to have hope for those who don't have it for themselves. That we are the ones that when Monday morning comes and we find ourselves sitting next to somebody who is in the midst of despair, that we ourselves know enough that light is on the horizon, that we can share with them that same message of hope. Y'all know I love Paul. Paul, the pastor's pastor. Paul had many folk who followed him, and some who were even more closely aligned with him than others, some that he considered to be his sons, his children in the faith. And there's one in particular, a young man named Titus, that Paul had sent on this mission. And he told him that I have sent you to Crete because what I desire that you will do is that you're going to set up some other elders, that you're going to make sure that the mission of the church and the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ expands, that it's not just those of us who do what we do, but you're going to make sure that it multiplies. That's the only reason I'm sending you. It's in this letter that he wrote to Titus that I want us to focus our attention mainly this morning, because as I was reading it this week, it just kept reinforcing that thing that I need us to get. Tomorrow, somebody's going to need your smile. And if you don't have a smile for yourself, they're going to need the encouragement that you use to encourage yourself, that even in the midst of where I am right now, there is light at the end. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. So in chapter 2 of Paul's letter to Titus, and beginning at verse number 11, he writes these words, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Paul starts off this letter just giving Titus instruction about what it means to be a pastor. Paul then further tells Titus what the qualifications are for someone who is called to be a pastor. And then Titus begins to talk about how Christians ought to act toward one another. So he begins to tell him that you need to tell the older men this, that you need to tell the older women this, that they need to be examples before those who are younger. And then he says, you even need to tell those who find themselves in bond not to take that as being something less than, but that they ought to also be good and kind and obey those who are their masters. But then he said something here that stuck in my mind, and I couldn't let it go. Beginning at verse number 11, after saying all he says, Paul says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." I'm going to stop right there for a moment. We need to understand who it is he's talking about. He says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." What Paul is saying is what we need to understand is that when Jesus came, we all were able to, in the face of Jesus, see the grace and presence of God, and that when God came taking on human form as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he came, he brought salvation to all people. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Verse 12, he says, "And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say." Let me run back to verse number 13. He says, "While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed." This morning, I'm simply talking about what we already saw on the video, the fact that hope is here. The fact that hope is here. Paul writes this letter to Titus, and he encourages Titus about some things. If I'd had time to read the whole thing to you, you'd understand that the first thing Paul encourages Titus to do is don't get frustrated with what's going on around you. That you're going to understand it from time to time. It's not going to look the way that you expect or intend that it will look, but it is all right. And when he gets to this section in chapter 2, I believe that Paul gives Titus something that we as individual and collective believers in 2017 can use for our own journeys, because we still are those who are called by God, that when we go out into the world, that we are the faces of God's hope. Quick question. I don't expect you to answer by raising your hand. In fact, I don't want you to do that. But have you ever felt your hope waning? Is there anybody in here other than me that is at some point in your life run short on hope? And you were asking yourself, God, is it really supposed to be like this? So my thing today is, if we can get that way as believers in Jesus Christ, those who are called by his name, if I, as a pastor who is charged to stand Sunday after Sunday and preach a word of hope, can sometimes feel like I'm short on hope, what about those who don't know him? The ones that we ourselves are called to live lives in front of, watch this, that leads them to say, I need what it is you have. So the first thing that we've got to wrestle with, the first thing that we've got to come to grips with, the first thing that we this morning need to be upfront with, can we be real church this morning? Not that fake church to kind of just, you know, I'm going to give you all the platitudes and the stuff that sounds good, but real church, where I get to show you me and you get to say, wow, I'm not the only one. We have to fight against the absence of hope. That very thing that we just talked about, that those seasons that come in your life where all of a sudden you realize, God, I'm not feeling the way that I was feeling 6 months ago when I first got the job. Lord, when I first lost it, I realized that then I ain't worried because my God will show up. But God, I've been unemployed for 9 months now. And my bills are piling up. We need to fight against the absence of hope. Why? If you have ever felt without hope, that's what it means to live in the absence of hope. If you have ever felt without hope, then you understand the absence of hope can lead to certain feelings. That if I feel hopeless, without hope, the absence of hope can lead me to despair. Lord, is it ever going to get, listen, I'm going to say something right here. I ain't talking about nobody because I ain't mad at nobody. When Pastor Doris and I have opportunity to share with couples who find their marriage in distress, and we've shared with couples who have found their marriage in distress and have gone on to separate and divorce, in many instances, what leads them all the way to, I'm done with this and we're getting a divorce, is the absence of hope. That I've been living in this situation so long, and I have, hear me, I have forgotten where my hope comes from. I've forgotten that no matter how dark it might be, that the sun will always rise in the AM. I despair. And not only can the absence of hope lead to me feeling feelings of despair, but it can also lead me to feel like I have been abandoned by God. Come on. Two things I've watched drive people away from church. One is getting the thing they've been praying for. I'm just real talk, right? You, the week after you lost that job, you was at the altar like this. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from coming to Wednesdays in the Word. Everybody need to come. But when random folk just start showing up on a regular, I'm like, what's going on? Somebody lost the job. You praying for a woman. What's going on in your life now? And as soon as you get them, I ain't seen you in a while. Well, you know, we went on vacation. We went to the Bahamas. Boo surprised me and took me away. Right? But right behind that is, I've been praying and nothing happened. I've been seeking God and nothing has happened. Watch this. I've been coming to Bible study. I've been tithing and giving and nothing has changed. Have I been abandoned by God? And if I feel like I've been abandoned by God, then where is my hope? So the absence of hope can lead to feeling abandoned by God. It can lead to despair, but can also lead to a longing for the pain and hardship to end soon. This is where it gets dangerous. We have to fight against the absence of hope. That's why this is important. Y'all, sometimes from week to week, you don't know what's going to happen. That's why this is important. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some, because if you miss a Sunday, you don't know what's going to happen on Monday. A longing for the pain and hardship to end soon. Lord, I need this to be over. And if we live in the prolonged time without hope, it can lead to us trusting our own actions rather than waiting on or trusting God. Come on. At least half of us in here have been there, right? I hoped the first month. I hoped and prayed the second month. I begged and pleaded in the third month. By the fourth month, I start looking on what can I do, because clearly God ain't hearing me. And if I live in that state for a prolonged period of time, I have the propensity to lean to my own understanding. Anybody in here ever taken the first way out because you thought it was the only way out? You hurried up and did whatever came, right? Lord, I hate my job. Wait, son. Lord, I hate my job. Wait, son. Lord, I hate my job. I need a new job. Wait, son. Lord, this job right here look good. Wait, son. Lord, they called me back for a second interview. Wait, son. Lord, they offered me the job. This must be you. 6 months later, Lord, I hate this job worse than I hate the last job. Right? Now listen, I made it jobs. Let me make it even more plain. God, I'm tired of being alone. Lord, send me somebody to be with. Lord, I need, Lord, my clock ticking. God, he cute. Lord, he gave me flowers. He asked me, watch this, he asked me to move in with him. Lord, I know he ain't saved, but with me and you together, The absence of hope for a prolonged period of time not only leads to feelings of despair, not only leads to us feeling abandoned by God, not only leads to us believing it has to end, but when we believe that, we begin trusting what we know more than trusting God. And in some situations, it can lead to suicide. Physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. So what do we need next? Listen, the next truth, and this is point number two, we all long for hope. You saw it in the video. There's not a person in the world who does not long for hope. Watch this. It is the preseason for the NFL. There ain't an Eagles fan alive that ain't talking Super Bowl. Why? Because we long for hope. Right? You see your quarterback throw one touchdown and you're like, oh, this is the year right here. He got some weapons behind him now. It's on and popping this year. The Cowboys don't stand a chance. Why? Because we all long for hope. And I know I use a football analogy, but that's everything in our lives. Job's been difficult, and all of a sudden they have a supervisory change, and you're like, yes. This is it. Right? Marriage been a little rocky. Homie go away for a weekend retreat with the men, come back and say, honey, I'm sorry. And you're like, yes. Why? Because we all long for hope. We were built to believe that it's going to be better. Listen, I'm talking to us as believers, but I'm talking to us as believers so that we can see that we need to believe, understand, and engage these truths, because the people out there who don't know what we know need someone standing alongside them. Say, I know just how you feel because I've been there. Let me tell you this. We all long for hope. Here's where this message actually begins to get good. Our longing is satisfied in Jesus Christ. Go to Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. Remember what I said? He says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Jesus, for the grace, I'm going to say hope, for the hope by the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. For the person who has come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's all I need in my darkest moment. That when I don't know how I am going to be able to take my next breath because of the pressure I feel all around me, I can remind myself of the truth that God loved me and everybody else in this world so much that he sent us the only hope we would ever need, that whosoever believes in him would not have to despair about perishing now or for all eternity, but we would have access. For the grace of God has been revealed. Now, I want to move real quick. Look at verse number 13, though, because this is where it really started getting toe-tapping good to me. Verse 13, he says, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Everybody's waiting for it to happen. Now, so that we are theologically sound, right there, Paul is talking about the second coming of Christ. saying that when Christ again reveals himself, we're going to not only see him and God in all of his glory, but we will be alongside him, glorified as much as we possibly will ever be. So this is the hope that we ultimately have, that God not only has redeemed us, but he is going to come back ultimately and get us all and take us along with him. The glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. But it got me thinking. I said, what? Hold on, though. We all want hope. Hope is in Jesus Christ. I said, that's good for everybody sitting in Harvest or any other church on a Sunday morning. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, not the church folk, that God so loved the world, not the good tithing Christians, not those who get it. God so loved the world. He loved you when you were unlovable. God had a love that extended beyond the four walls of the church. God had a love that extended to every part of his creation. And it says that we all are looking forward to this revelation of the true presence of God. I said, oh, it's real. I get it. I see how we connect our hope and the hope that we have as believers to the fact that we all, whether we are in church or outside of church, want hope. My last point. We, the church, are the enduring presence of hope through Jesus Christ. You just heard me read John 3:16, for God. But this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But I need you to see this one. Romans chapter 8, verse number 19. You'll see that it sounds eerily familiar. Paul writes there, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Got another version. The whole world groans eagerly awaiting the revelation of the sons of God. When we are seen to be who we really are, when we become in this life who we are supposed to be, says everything in the world is waiting. Those folk who are in need of hope are waiting. Everybody, because everybody wants hope. And God sent hope in the presence of the grace that he was when he sent Jesus Christ, and salvation came to all. And we who know Jesus as Lord and Savior has him now and ever as our hope. But everybody else is waiting. Waiting for what? Are they waiting for the second coming? Or are they waiting for our becoming? Paul said to the church at Rome, they waiting on y'all. When we start living as the outward expression of the love of God that dwells on the inside of us, when we are willing to extend it, hear me, far and wide to folk we like and dislike, even more to folk who dislike or like us, then we can tell the world, hope is here. See, hope is here is not just when we as believers in Jesus Christ get to, in any given moment, go in our pocket and give to somebody. But hope is here in the way we act in the most dark situations. Hope is here in the way we respond when we find ourselves in the midst of crisis. Hope isn't here just when we sing, but hope is here in the way we interact with everybody, whether they believe what we believe or not. Why? Because in so doing, we are showing them the love and presence of God through his son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. He loved the world enough to want to use me. He loved the world enough to want to use you. He loved the world enough to want to use us to reach the world, to be his hope. One last quote and I'm done. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Doctor, said we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Think about that. Disappointment is going to come. But the disappointments that come in our lives, whether by the things that happen to us or the things that happen around us, they are at all times finite. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you ever had a day where you didn't weep at all? So every day is not going to be that day, but the one thing that we can always be assured of is that every morning is going to come. So we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. That's what we represent. That's who we are. Y'all heard me say a couple years ago, we are Easter people. Understand, and I'm going to help somebody with your theology. It's not Christmas that defines you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Stop that. It's Easter, Resurrection Sunday, that defines you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you can have all of the births you want until you have the resurrection, death still won. We are Easter people. We are the people of infinite hope. We are the people that as many times as you knock me down, my God will lift me back up. It doesn't matter. We are the people of, it doesn't matter what you might do, think, or say about me. I am a child of the King, and watch this, will love you in spite of you. Because he loved me in spite of me. This week, wherever you go, take hope with you. And the hope is not for you, but it's for somebody else. Take hope with you and let somebody know hope is here. Let's pray. Father, it is with our hearts humbled by your continuing to express your love toward us and extend and bestow your grace upon us that we are here. God, this is almost like preaching to the choir. This is a room of people who I've come to know and witness have little to no issue with being the living manifestation of your love. These are the people who will give freely of their time, their talent, and yes, even their treasure if needed. But God, we are still finite, flesh and bone. We are still subject, Lord, to the failings of our human strength. And so here right now, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that this morning you have not only reminded us that hope has a name, that hope actually pursues us, that hope will chase us down in our darkest moment to reveal himself and say, I am still here. But we also know hope has a name. So in the name of Jesus, we pray hope over every person in this sanctuary right now. Lord, it doesn't matter what they are hoping for. Our hope stems from the same truth, that you love us without measure, that you care for us without regard of who we are or where we've come from. God, I believe that your love is perfect, that it humbles and breaks down the most hardened heart and warms the coldest spirit. Thank you for the hope you sent in Christ. And as we battle against, first in our own lives and then in the lives of those around us, the absence of hope, let us understand that we can combat that absence by being the presence of your love. Touch whoever is in this congregation right now under the sound of my voice, who is wrestling with a decision to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And it is our hope, Lord, that if someone is here today who desires to give their heart and life to you, that your Holy Spirit would lead them to, immediately following this service, come to talk to me or talk to Pastor Doris or talk to Brother Bradon or someone they've seen here on this platform today, that we can have a conversation about the enduring and eternal hope we have in Jesus Christ. This is our prayer, and we pray it in Christ's name. Let us all say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.